Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming. One second he was peacefully perched in his cage, and the next he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problem begins when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with the vacuum. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage, and suddenly the phone rang and she picked it up and she could barely say hello, and Chippy was sucked in. The bird's owner gasped, put down her phone and turned off the vacuum and opened the vacuum up, and there was Chippy, still alive but stunned. And since she considered that he was all covered with dust and hair and all that stuff that the vacuum gathers, she grabbed him up, raced to the bathroom, turned on the tap water, and held Chippy under the running water. And then she realized that he was soaked and shivering, so she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted the pet with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, a friend who had heard about Chippy's troubles contacted the owner to see how Chippy was recovering. Well, she replied, "Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares." Who could blame him? Being sucked in, washed up, and blown over? That's enough to steal the song from the stoutest of hearts. Things sometimes happen in our lives that come along unexpectedly, and maybe we feel a bit like Chippy. Sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The song can be stolen from the stoutest of hearts. So I reckon there's a few things here this morning that stand out, that give testimony, that probably in our lives we might feel like those disciples in a boat. Afraid, vulnerable, decidedly that sinking feeling. You know what it's like to feel like when you're in the middle of a storm, tossed this way and that, and you wonder how you're ever going to get into calmer waters. Jesus had commanded the disciples to take the boat across the Sea of Galilee. He'd been on the west side preaching and working, and he wanted to go over to the east side, which was known as the Decapolis, which was a non-Jewish place, and it was full of pagan culture. And in the process, a great windstorm came up, and as that cool Mediterranean air came down, mixing into the warm, humid air of the sea, and that Sea of Galilee sits in a basin 700 feet below sea level, and it's ringed up by 2,000-foot mountains around it. It forms as a wind tunnel, and the Arbel Pass, there it acts as a funnel, creating violent and sudden storms. And here we see seasoned fishermen fearing for their life. Those panic-stricken disciples, they shouted out to a sleeping Jesus above the roar of the wind and the sound of the waves and crashing over the sides of the boats, "Lord, don't you care about us? We're about to drown." But that's fine talk about adversity like this, and say that Jesus gets us through those tough times when the chips are down, and it can, as it really happens to us. But look at those disciples in the boat caught in that storm. They knew Jesus better than anyone else. They had walked with him. They had talked with him. They had witnessed his miracles. They had heard him talk about God's love and his care and why it's pointless to worry and be anxious. And yet, even though they have Jesus right there in the midst of their boat, they panic. They think that Jesus, that's sleeping there on that cushion, he doesn't care or doesn't know that they are in danger now. Do they really believe that Jesus, this Jesus, will let them drown? Has fear driven and taken over that any sign of faith and trust in Jesus would vanish? Do they really have let that fear be driven out? Are they so filled with panic that they come to believe that Jesus won't come to their aid in the same way that he had helped so many other people in their adversities? Are they asking the question whether Jesus was even aware of their grave danger? And without a doubt, that's just what they were doing in the midst of this storm, as it was proving too great of them being able to row out of it. They bailed water, they gathered in the sails, they tossed overboard any unnecessary weight, and they panicked. And now they finally turned, maybe in a bit of anger and frustration, toward a sleeping Jesus. And with that rough shaking, waking him up, and he stands up, and they demand, "Don't you care that we are about to die?" It's not that the disciples didn't have faith in Jesus at all. It's not that they hadn't committed themselves to following Jesus. They had experienced his love and compassion as he dealt with the upset storms in other people's lives. It was just at this moment of extreme adversity in their lives that all seemed to vanish. And I don't think it's any different with any of us. The great 12th century Christian teacher Bernard Clavaire described the wobbly faith kind of saying, "We're like drunken sailors reeling and staggering about out of control." Don't we see what's happening at times in our own lives and the lives of others around us? It is very human. It is very natural. It's a part of being, yes, a sinner and saint at the same time. We have those two sets of minds, the old nature and the new nature. We want to trust and love our Lord, but sometimes it feels like it's beyond us. So how do we handle adversity, especially trouble, when we consider that it's unfair or just totally out of control? In that Old Testament lesson there, the chaos that broke into Job's calm and serene life, the marauders carried away Job's great flocks, lightning struck dead his cattle, thousands, the desert twister took and killed the life of his 10 sons and daughters. And here he is now left in ruins, his body in physical pain, in his flesh. There's no place that it doesn't hurt. He becomes a physical wreck, a social outcast, and an economic has-been. And worst of all, the religious he's accused of being a religious heretic in the eyes of his friends, thinking that surely he must have done something wrong to deserve all of this. But what was God doing? Here was a man who was totally dedicated to God, who lived a good and decent life, as we might say, and he's being treated, well, rather unjustly, it seems. How unfair can you get? And God doesn't seem to be doing anything to help him. He could have easily cried out the same thing as the disciples, "Lord, don't you care that I'm about to die?" God puts it all in focus. As we read that Old Testament lesson, we heard those words where God spoke to Job, "Out of the storm, where were you? I marked the boundaries of the sea and kept it bolted in its doors. I told it so far and no further. Here your powerful waves must stop." You see, God is in control of what appears to be uncontrollable. God is more powerful than any of the worst kinds of chaos or trouble that can enter into a life. And Job was simply reminded, God is God and we are not. Now I know if I was in that same situation as the disciples, I probably reckon I would feel a bit like those disciples too in that boat on that stormy sea. Like the disciples, I probably would have felt everything's gone crazy and out of control, and it might seem like things are a little bit hopeless. Maybe like the disciples, I might lose heart and become despondent because those forces against which we're facing just seem too great. And like the disciples, I too probably would have maybe even despaired a bit in that overwhelming magnitude of the storm. Why me of all people? Like the disciples, I probably would have wanted to give a good shout and say, don't you care? And when things get out of control in our lives, it's easy to think that it's also out of God's control. But that's not the case. That's far from the truth, as we see in the gospel story. In all that rushing about in the boat, the disciples forgot one really important thing. Jesus was in the boat. He was being tossed about just as they were. He was being drenched by the waves and tossed about, and yet he showed his complete trust in his Heavenly Father's protection as he slept through the storm. Jesus was right there with the disciples. They had witnessed Jesus call people who were in trouble to trust him, and now it was their turn to trust in Jesus. Now it was their turn to face trouble and trust that Jesus would act in their benefit. These tough, weathered fishermen, they were being tested on right in their own familiar environment. And here comes the landlubber Jesus, who's probably more at home with the wood shavings and rather than the tangy breezes and the smell of fish. And at that point, when they believed that there was no hope, that they would soon sink into the watery deep, Jesus stood up in that rocking boat and heaving and demonstrating that clear presence among us, among the disciples, and his mastery over the situation. He called out to the wind and the waves, and everything stopped. And the disciples probably stood there with their mouth open. How could they have been so easily overcome by adversity that they lost sight of the one who was in the boat with them, who loved them and was powerful? How had that trouble that had fallen on them caused them to lose confidence and trust in the faith of the one who mattered most? Well, you see, adversity has a way of making us more focused, stronger, enabling our faith to grow and bringing us closer to Jesus. So how do you face adversity? When everything else goes haywire and things seem to get out of control, when you are powerless in the midst of stormy adversity, where do you find the strength to face the trouble and to survive the storm? Very simply, Jesus. He may not always remove you from the storm. He may not always stop the storm. But with Jesus by your side, in the midst of adversity, all is well. We have nothing to fear, nothing to be anxious about, because his strength can become your strength. And his peace is that which calms your heart and your soul, just as he commanded, peace be still to the wind and the waves. And when things begin to terrify you, and you think of Jesus stepping to the eye of the storm on that Good Friday, the sky turned dark, and he died that day for us. But he rose again with that promise of everlasting, loving presence, that whatever the troubling circumstances we face along life's journey, he is there. When faced with adversity, remember your baptism. Remember the promise that Jesus made to you when you were joined to him through the water and the word. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he says, I will be with you even unto the end of the age. He invites you to call out in faith to him because he is able to strengthen and calm the wave-tossed soul. And he can bring you through all of life's storms to that safe haven of your eternal home. There is only one who can truly help you when facing adversity. There is only one whose love for us is undeniable and whose faithfulness can be trusted. There is only one who is powerful enough that he can uphold us when it seems like the whole world is rocking and reeling. And that is Jesus. Sometimes with the strong words and other times with a quiet and gentle voice, he says to us, peace, shalom, behold, be still. And yes, even the wind and the waves obey him. So when you are sucked in, washed up, and blown over, and the song of your heart is silenced, you can be assured that Christ is in your boat. He is there in your stormy chaos. And he says, peace, be still, and know that I am the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace that surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We now join in singing our hymn, O For a Thousand Tongues to Sing.